Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, Bill Jack, from Worldview Academy, also in studio with me now. And today we're going to talk about some of the issues that are pulling at the very fabric of the nation, certainly at the fabric of the churches, but now even politics. The disunity in the Southern Baptist Church is certainly affecting the disunity of the nation. And Bill, are you woke?
You know, Kevin, I had a bad night last night. I woke up early and I didn't sleep well. I woke up about 6 and then I just didn't give it. What?
Bill.
What?
No.
Are you sorry, woke? I was nodding off here.
Are you
I'm
woke?
Sorry.
No. Are you woke?
Am I woke?
Are you woke up?
Oh.
You woke up to your Marxist leanings.
Oh, you're talking about what the culture is talking about.
Yeah. Are you woke to the zeitgeist,
Yeah,
Bill?
Me too.
Bill, have you?
Me too, I'm woke.
Have joined the Me Too woke gang?
Yeah, okay.
Well, it is certainly the politically correct zeitgeist of the day.
I got to tell you, the people who are woke really are asleep at the wheel.
Well, they certainly are pushing for reparations. Now, reparations was not popular under Barack Obama's administration. Hillary Clinton opposed it. But now, the entire nation is woking, and certainly the Southern Baptist Church has woked, and it appears to me that that this nation is moving towards reparations. So,
now, and what do you mean by reparations?
Reparations.
What does that mean? I mean, it's Representative Sheila Jackson Lee, a Democrat from Texas.
What it means is that people have been abused throughout history. The Japanese abused the Chinese during World War II. The Romans abused the Anglo-Saxons. Remember a number of years ago?
I was a few years ago.
You were just a small child at that time. And the Irish abuse was very, very high, very extensive through the 16th, 17th, 18th centuries. And so the Democrats are suggesting that we offer reparations. And all the African Americans have been abused as well. And babies, millions upon millions of babies have been abused.
Yep. So who's going to get reparations for that?
I don't know. I'm not sure. But anyway, do we give reparations to every person who's ever been abused in history? That's the question the Democrats are asking, and apparently it was a free-for-all. There's something of a big, gigantic fight in the House of Representatives.
I mean, for example, Louie Gohmert, who's a Republican or Texas representative, accused the Democrats of having racists in the ranks decades ago and added, quote, "It is important that we know our history and we not punish people for the sins of their predecessors in the Democratic Party," end quote. And at that point, somebody in the audience shouted, "You lie." They are totally unaware. They are not woke to history. Because the Democratic Party has been the party of segregation, the party of Jim Crow, the party that opposed the Civil Rights Act of 1964. The Democrats have been the ones who are the racist party. The Republicans were formed to end slavery. And now this thing has been turned on its head. You talk about woke? No, they're asleep at the wheel.
Well, who's going to repair? And will it be the Democratic Party that will provide reparations? You know, maybe that's somebody have suggested perhaps the Democratic Party should take
up
a collection.
Yeah, they should.
But here, what does the Bible say about reparations? That's going to be the thrust of this. We always come back to what does the Bible say about that? Do you remember the WWJD bracelets that came out for a while?
Yeah.
What would Jesus do?
Right.
What the Bible says.
Yeah.
WTBS. That's what he would do.
I like to say before you ask WWJD, you got to ask what WWJT, what would Jesus think?
What would Jesus think? What would Jesus do? Yeah. What the Bible says.
Yeah.
And WDBSAT.
What
does the Bible say about
Jesus
that?
Do?
What WDBSAT is, what does the Bible say about that? By the way, I have a little book that I've written for 9 and 10 and 11 year olds called What Does the Bible Say About That? It's excellent for 67 year olds too.
No. Well, if I know any 67-year-olds,
okay,
I'm older than that.
What does the Bible say about reparations? That's the question here, friends. We'll answer it in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abort-efficient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about one-third of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way, protecting life as Christians do at one-third the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And we are back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you, Bill Jack also in studio. As the House of Representatives argues over reparations, I don't know if anybody brought out Ezekiel chapter 18, but they should have. Ezekiel chapter 18 is really what the Bible says, really what God says about reparations. Ezekiel 18:14, now suppose this man fathers a son who sees all the sins that his father's done. He sees and does not do likewise. He does not eat upon the mountains or lift up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, does not defile his neighbor's wife, does not oppress anyone, exacts no pledge, commits no robbery, but gives his bread to the hungry and covers the naked with a garment, withholds his hand from iniquity, takes no interest or profit, obeys my rules, and walks my statutes, he shall not die for his father's iniquity, he shall surely live. As for his father, because he practiced extortion, robbed his brother, and did what was not good among his people, behold, he shall die for his iniquity. Yet you say, why should not the son suffer for the iniquity of the father? When the son has done what is just and right, and has been careful to observe my statutes, he shall surely live. The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not suffer for the iniquity of the father, nor the father suffer for the iniquity of the son, and so forth and so on. Now, it's true that God punishes to the third and fourth generation, but he does not allow humans to punish to the third and fourth generation, certainly not. You know, it's interesting, the first tyrant was Lamech, Cain's great-grandson. Remember Lamech?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he was the first polygamist, had two wives, but also the first tyrant. Most people don't understand that he was the first tyrant. And what do tyrants do? Tyrants exact more than God exacts. And that's what Lamech says to his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, you wives of Lamech, listen to what I say. I've killed a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me. In other words, you know, somebody oppressed me, therefore, if Cain's revenge is sevenfold, then Lamech's is 77-fold. So what is he saying here? What he's saying here is that I will be much more severe than God. I am 70 times more powerful than God. I will make it far worse than God would ever make it in civil government. I am the world's first tyrant. That's what he's saying. And that's what these Democrats are doing. They're saying, we are going to punish the children for the father's sins. That's what reparations are all about. And friends, that's not what we're to do. No, no, we don't do that.
You punish the guilty,
you absolutely
not the
do.
Innocent.
Absolutely. And so, you know, let's say that some father commits murder, and in the process, somehow he dies of a disease. You don't grab his son and say, now you are going to provide reparations to the victims or the victim's family over this. No, you're not going to do that. You can't do that. The Bible doesn't allow for that. You don't punish the son for the father's crimes. Friends, and when tyrants do this kind of thing, when the tyrants say, okay, we are going to exact justice, baby, and we're going to do it worse than God would ever even imagine to do it, that is what tyranny is all about. That was Lamech, the great-grandson of Cain, and the very essence of tyranny, and that tyranny has descended upon the world, and the Democratic Party is at the forefront of that tyranny, at least for the time being.
And that's what Sheila Jackson Lee, Democrat of Texas, is. She's being a tyrant because she wants to strip people of their wealth, of their property, and then give it to those who don't have that property. It's redistribution of wealth. It's theft. It is calling somebody innocent as guilty and calling somebody who may be guilty as being innocent just because of the color of the skin.
Well, what are we going to say as to the decline of Christianity and this progression of socialism, racism, and progressivism? What is going to happen? What is going to happen in America that stirs up this kind of racism and this kind of progressivism and socialism and racism? What does the future look like? I have one nation to think about at this point, that is South Africa. If you want to see the mass murder and the mass redistribution of property and the confiscation of private property, and by the way, they're still doing it. They're confiscating private farms and redistributing the wealth in South Africa as well as—
They're murdering property owners.
As well as in Zimbabwe. They murder the property owners, and they steal their property— And the murder rate in South Africa is six times that of the United States. So, friends, you want to see what the future of America will be like, given the rise of socialism, communism, and racism, as advocated by the Democratic Party. Friends, the future of America may be viewed by just checking out a few stories from South Africa. It is a cauldron of violence, terror, confiscation of property, and murder. What a wonderful example for America to look forward to here, Bill. This is it. This is where we're headed. This is where America's going. America is heading towards South Africa. By the way, murder rates have increased for the sixth consecutive year in South Africa. The most recent rise includes a 14% increase in the murder of women and children. So, friends, you know, if you want to know the chaos that woke brings, if you want to know the chaos that Marxism and the revolutionary fervor brings to a nation, just check out South Africa. We've got an excellent example of how you might take an economically prosperous nation and do your best to destroy it by stirring up as much racist hatred as possible and pushing for reparations.
It's class envy. That's what it is. It's envy.
Yeah, exactly. This is the goal of Marxism. To create constant turmoil, racial unrest, class warfare, class envy, violence, terror, murder, and misery. Okay, be very clear. This is what the Marxists do. This is what the devils do. There's a reason why Karl Marx refers to himself as Apollyon in some of his prose writings. By the way, all of that in my book, Apostate, the Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. So if you want to understand, you know, why Marxism brings about such devastation around the world economically in terms of social unrest and the destruction of hundreds of millions of lives. Just understand that Marx referred to himself as Apollyon, which is the devil's word for the destroyer. He is the destroyer. He's come to destroy. And indeed, the devil has come to steal and to kill and to destroy. And that's precisely what the devil does in South Africa. And that's what he is about to do in America as well. But be very clear. Ask yourself, by what standard is this right or wrong? By what standard? That's the key question that we ask. Do not be confused concerning the question of racism, reparations, and all the other things. The liberal definition of sin and the Christian definition of sin and crime are very, very different. You know, the liberals might view slavery to banks as in debt or slavery to corporations as a sin. We don't see it as always a sin. The debtor is servant to the lender, slave to the lender. Yes, indeed. The debtor is slave to the lender. That's what the Word of God tells us. But it doesn't tell us that every instance of debt slavery is wrong. It doesn't say that. So I don't walk around telling everybody, oh, you're in mortgage debt, you're in sin. I don't do that. And yet, murdering babies in the womb is always a sin. Homosexuality and fornication is always a sin. War and taking prisoners of war is not necessarily a sin. And yet liberals confuse all of this. They confuse you. They define sin in an anomalous manner in which, you know, we can't really come to a conclusion as to whether this is a sin or not. But they obfuscate it. They make it unclear. The Bible makes it totally clear. There should be no question as to what is a sin and what is not a sin. Liberals will tell you that poverty is a sin. Liberals will tell you that inequity in terms of wealth is a sin. Liberals will tell you that enslaving oneself is a sin, or that war or taking prisoners of war is a sin. The Bible doesn't say that. Going to war is always a sin. Friends, you need to use the Word of God as a means by which to determine between good and evil, right and wrong, and it's when the church gives up on the definition of right and wrong as the law of God that we enter into the unclear, obfuscating wilderness of the modern social justice warriors in which, friends, there is no definition. There is no clear definition of what is right and what is wrong. just a bunch of people who feel very deeply about this and feel very deeply about that, but ultimately no right and no wrong. Ultimately, if you're looking to government to solve the problem of poverty or slavery or debt slavery, you're going to find the government will always make things worse. Powerful governments, revolutionary governments, will stir up strife and hatred and disunity and more murder and poverty and misery for the people. That's what they do. According to the book of Proverbs, wicked rulers are like a wild bear, creating chaos, bloodshed, and mayhem. Boy, if that's not the Democratic Party in America, I don't know what else is. The Democratic Party in America, those who hate God's laws, and the Republicans who hate God's laws, are wicked rulers, and they're like wild bears, Bill. You really think that these policies that encourage sexual sin and encourage racial disunity and encourage class envy, you really think this is going to create a nation of peace and prosperity? You really think that's going to happen, Bill?
No, we're going to descend into tribalism.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm of this, I'm of that. And we are warned against that as Christians. Hmm. We are one blood. We are one race.
That's right.
And
that's right. That's right.
We belong to one Lord.
That's right.
You know.
And I think of Colossians chapter 3, we have put on the new man in Christ. Unity can only come in Jesus. I mean, you're not going to get unity by somebody enforcing hiring quotas and stirring up the racial hatred by reparations and then, you know, launching into a screaming match on the floor of the House of Representatives. That hasn't proven to be effective. But Jesus brings down the wall of separation. Jesus is our peace. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Who cares about the distinctions of slavery or freedom? Who cares about the Scythian, the Greek, or the Jew? These are worldly labels. They're superficial labels. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We're new creatures in Christ. And we don't view each other according to these worldly labels. We're not concerned about these things. We're sinners saved by grace. And so there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's no male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus, which means these labels are of less concern to us. And certainly the idea of egalitarianism, in which we've got to be all on the same level economically or in terms of gender or whatever it is. Friends, no. It's not about equality in economics. It's about us being equal in Christ, equally saved by grace, because we're equally damned to hell together and need the grace of God to save us from the flames of hell and the corruption of sin. Friends, that's the only hope for any nation. And the reason why it's failed in South Africa, the reason it's failing here, is because the churches have failed to preach the gospel and people just aren't being reconciled to God in Christ, and therefore they're not being reconciled to each other. You know, it's interesting. I'm going to close on this one, Bill. SurveyMonkey did a survey asking the question, which ethnic group would you not want to be your neighbor? Very interesting question. They asked that of, I think, 60 of the major nations around the world. And it turns out, this is really interesting, the most racist nation in the world is India. 16, which is a Hindu nation, by the way.
Right.
16 out of the top 25 most racist nations in the world were Muslim. Japan, Hong Kong, South Korea, very strong in racism. The secular country, or the communist country of Russia, was very, very racist. And the secular communist country of South Africa also has been very badly affected by racism. So that's pretty much it. Those are the 25 worst nations in the world. America was one of the very best in the world. The Christian countries, those countries that have a Christian heritage, now we're losing it, but yes, we're losing our Christian heritage. But the nations that had the best in terms of a Christian heritage, they did the very best on this test. Now, this test, this SurveyMonkey, you know, survey was not made available to the mass media. It only showed up on a couple of 3-4 sites. So I think a South African site picked it up and several others, but nobody wanted to touch this one with a 10-foot pole because it was telling the truth that those countries where Jesus was bringing the peoples together, unified under his cross, bought and paid for by the blood of the Lamb, these nations were the least likely to give in to racism. But those nations that hadn't had much of the influence of Christ, or those nations that had given way to an all-out humanist, communist worldview, like South Africa and Russia, did not do well on the survey. So it's the ungodly nations, it's the Hindu nations, it's the humanist nations, and the Muslim nations, mostly the Muslim nations, that were the hellholes on this globe and had not learned that the middle walls of partition had come down because of Jesus. So you see how Jesus does make an impact. And we're going to leave you on that positive, my friends. Christian countries like America were the very best when it comes to these surveys. Now, of course, we're going the wrong direction. The Democratic Party is doing what it can to destroy the influence of Christ and the Word of God and the unity we have in Christ. But let's bring the gospel back in and believe that Jesus is the one that brings down the animosity and the division between God and man and between us and our fellow men. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Radio broadcast. I want to leave you on that positive note that, yes, indeed, Jesus is still our peace, and he still reconciles us together. And I am so thrilled to be a part of a church and to be a part of conferences and such in which we begin to see every tribe, every nation represented, because we see that we are all saved by the powerful death of Jesus and the resurrection from the dead. We are all saved by his powerful grace, and we all sing the stories of his redemption at the top of our lungs together among the assembly of the saints. And we're doing it now, and we're going to do it forever and ever, every tribe, every nation, singing songs to the Lamb who's redeemed us by his blood. That wraps up this edition of the Generations Radio broadcast, friends. Let me encourage you to our little book, Apostate the Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, so you better understand the worldviews that have been so destructive, especially when it comes to these issues. The book is The Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.